You're listening to the Ithaca Podcast. In this Knowledge Series podcast, we're discussing the Ithaca Journal Volume 1 article, Mistakes Happen, Mitigating Unintentional Data Loss, written by Mike Van Stone and Ben Halpert. Today, we're speaking with Mike about strategies to prevent data loss and how to react when it occurs. So Mike, can you begin by telling us some reasons why data loss happens?
Well, I've got a quote here from a highly successful entrepreneur and technology leader named Tom Noonan. He said, "Technological innovation makes the world highly interconnected, and this interconnection will forever bring both challenges and opportunities to our doorsteps and to every corner of the world." That interconnectivity that Tom referred to greatly expanded the number of different ways loss can happen. In our article, Mistakes Happen, Mitigating Unintentional Data Loss, we touch on many different ways data can be exposed. Key reasons that often lead to data loss: a lack of awareness, lack of due care, inadequate processes, insufficient tools, or too many tools to manage. And in regards to that last one, as more and more tools are layered on, security management can become more challenging. Companies need to develop a holistic data protection approach, which includes strategically planning decentralized data protection policy controls. That can help to reduce the complexity, but it can also help with effectiveness as well.
In what ways do internal employees cause data loss, and are there measures that can be taken to prevent this?
Absolutely. And first, just as level set, unintentional data loss occurs when confidential information leaves a corporation's boundaries without explicit approval by authorized personnel. And this can happen in many ways. A very common example is laptops being stolen out of people's cars or trunks or whatever you might have. And in that case, enforcing hard drive encryption through group policies mitigates that risk. Another example is just simply misaddressing an email. That's a very common mistake. I know that a lot of tools have auto-completion for email addresses, and sometimes people would like to send an email to John Smith at XYZ Company, but instead maybe send it to johnsmith@gmail.com, and they've now sent something instead to from a corporate environment to a personal address. These quick auto-completions can cause challenges, but there's certain things that can help mitigate that as well. For example, for misaddressed email, data protection, loss protection tools help. That's always a bit of a cat and mouse game to block 100% of the risk without impeding business. And sometimes the rules that were appropriate yesterday for DLP tools that allow data to flow beyond, say, corporate boundaries to a vendor may leave data in the hands of a former vendor today if there's a vendor transition. So that always has to be considered as well. And then a third example of how users, internal employees can cause data loss would be when users click on phishing emails exposing the company to malware. In that case, a multiple defense in depth type of approach is needed. For instance, there could be anti-malware on user endpoints. To raise user awareness, you can work with vendors that would send actually fake phishing emails to your employees. And then if they fail and they click on the link that is representing a fake malicious email, then they could be redirected to education videos right on the spot. And there's certainly other controls such as firewall and web surfing restrictions as well. Another item to consider would be if you can indicate visibly to your end users whether the email originates from internal to your network or outside. And those help users make the appropriate decisions.
What are some laws and regulations that affect how enterprises address data loss?
There are many, many different states, industries, countries, regions with ever-changing data protection laws. For example, U.S. state laws can often have notification and notification timing requirements. Some even have security requirements and breach victim protection requirements. And I think these are good. The state breach transparency requirements have really motivated organizations to devote greater attention and additional resources to their data privacy and security practices. In recent days, GDPR has been getting a lot of attention. I think rightfully so, with the potential penalties that brings with it. The effective date is rapidly approaching, and how organizations are impacted by GDPR varies in many ways. The scope of GDPR is broad. The GDPR affects data from EU members around the world, no matter where the data is stored. And in order to put controls in place, there's a number of different topics to think about for GDPR, such as consent, breach notification, right to access, right to be forgotten. Privacy by design, that's a newer concept, and requirements to appoint data protection officers are some of the key components that come with that as well.
What kind of data protection controls can be used to address data loss?
Well, in the email, stolen laptop, and phishing examples earlier, they provided some thoughts at the micro level for controls. And then at the macro level, the COPIT framework is a very good place to start when you're identifying controls. For example, one of the related COPIT control practices is identification and classification of sources of information. It sounds fairly simple, but for a large enterprise, that can be a daunting task. Many businesses have data warehouses, and from that starting point, the data can flow anywhere and everywhere into many nooks and crannies throughout an organization. So first off, getting a handle around that is extremely important. And next, after finding the data, need to begin considering implementing technical and process controls that are appropriate for the level of detail. For some very confidential information, certainly those need to have extra due care taken to them. And examples of ways to go about doing that would be limiting access to only those who absolutely require it for job responsibilities, consider applying zero trust concepts to your network, considering other security tools as well. And I think, finally, looking forward, it would be valuable to evaluate methods that can provide encryption protection with analytics and access management regardless of where the confidential data is, whether it's inside or outside of the network.
Your article mentions the findings of the California Data Breach Report. Can you tell us about the types of breaches that were discussed in this report?
Sure. The referenced California Data Breach Report covers data breaches that were reported to the California Attorney General between 2012 and 2015. And during that time period, that report covers nearly 50 million records of Californians that were breached, quite a significant number. And the report focuses on data breach trends as opposed to specific breaches, but it definitely did provide some very interesting data, particularly by analyzing different types of breaches and correlating those with industries. So, for example, breaches caused by errors that would be similar to the incorrect email address example that we talked about earlier, that represented about 17% of the reported breaches. And that type in particular was found to be more common in the government realm. Half of government breaches were in that type that were reported in that report. Another example of physical breaches when we're talking about stolen laptops. Users lose their devices with unencrypted data, that was about 22%. And those thefts were actually more pronounced in the healthcare sector and small businesses. All in all, the report's an interesting read for sure. And it's a clear example of how, in my opinion, California has taken a leadership role in pushing for data protection and breach transparency.
What steps can enterprises take to mitigate data loss?
Sure. Definitely, many of the controls and tools that we've talked about today help mitigate data loss from an unintentional loss. But there's some additional steps that can be taken, particularly in the area that we haven't focused on quite yet, which is intentional, internal and external data loss. So if you take it from that perspective, there's controls like for internal employees, USB port blocking would be an example. And then for external parties, a key factor or key control is vulnerability patching. Now, one interesting fact from the California Breach Report is that nearly all the breaches that they categorized in the exploited vulnerability category actually had patches available, and the patches were available for over a year. So that really emphasizes the importance to management in terms of developing continuous monitoring over control, such as vulnerability analysis and patching, and also the auditing of those security-related controls.
The title of your article states that mistakes happen. So how should enterprises respond in the event of unintentional data loss?
Well, the short answer is the enterprises should respond in accordance with their documented and tested IT security incident response plan. Now, the longer answer is that the planning and testing of enterprises' plans hopefully begin well in advance of any kind of incident. Hopefully incidents don't occur, but if they do, hopefully they have that plan available to them. And when they're in that process of testing it in advance, it's definitely really important to ensure full involvement from different stakeholders or groups. Make sure they're fully engaged. And those different groups could potentially include IT operations, security and compliance, legal, communications, finance, and vendor management, depending on the source of the breach. And within any kind of incident response plan, there's a number of different components that should be addressed. I'll just highlight a few for today, but identification and triage, internal escalation, containment, analysis, eradication, recovery, external notification. For instance, if there's customer requirements or individuals that are affected and government entities as well, that would fall under that category, and lessons learned. And lessons learned, I think, is extremely critical. When you're trying to fix the issue, it's important to get that resolved and resolved quickly that caused the incident. But certainly, that should not be the end destination when one of these types of challenges has been experienced. In that case, looking at the root causes for why processes and controls broke down should absolutely be examined. And then those actions to remediate breakdowns should be tracked to completion by senior levels within any organization.
Now, since you've written your article, many high-profile data breaches have taken place. Could you discuss some of them in light of your article?
Sure. Many of the different breaches that are occurring and the ones that have been written since or have come out since the article was published, in many cases, there are some basic fundamental internal controls that are breaking down. So I think having a great awareness and emphasizing the importance of that within any organization is critical. And within any kind of a strategy, while you're protecting data, there are multiple layers that are important. And certainly in the past, there's been quite a lot of focus on the boundaries around a particular network, whether it's a corporate network or whether it's a virtual private cloud. But I think more and more, people begin to realize that we can't just have a strong castle wall and a moat around it, but with a soft underbelly. The real thing that we're trying to protect is that data. And we know that controls can break down, and there are quite a lot of occasions where that's occurred in these instances. But if there's data encryption, it helps to mitigate a lot of the risk. So a lot of the focus has to be put on the data these days as opposed to just simply the outer walls, because the world is changing and the ways that information can be exploited is very different than it used to be.
And finally, is there anything else you'd like to add relating to your article?
Sure. I would say when planning a holistic data protection strategy, it's important to consider how to provide the control, the scalability, the visibility, and the flexibility that would help prepare for the ever-evolving data protection laws. We know that there's so many in so many different regions and industries, and each continues to layer on new requirements and new components. And having flexibility to adjust to those different requirements is quite an important aspect of planning any kind of data protection strategy.
Thanks, Mike. And that's all we have time for in this edition of the podcast. If you're interested in learning more about data loss mitigation, read Mike and Ben's Journal Volume 1 article, Mistakes Happen: Mitigating Unintentional Data Loss.